coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we're recapping the Texas field action at a brand new venue where everyone was going super low. Plus, it is a major championship week as well. We preview the Ocean Vibes coming your way from Kiawa and an atrocity committed by the NCAA that needs to be talked about. Plus, what we're tuned into, including award shows that make us feel old. And this week's guest is Elizabeth Diane Martin, a return guest with a new venture that she teases, talking about Colorado winters, her time at Riviera, all of it. And all of that is brought to you by our friends at FlightScope. It's the Mevo unit, Mike. I talk about it all the time. I just brought it up my warm-up this morning, 5 days a week. I have that Mevo out there for 10 minutes a day. And it's a really simple way for me to just get dialed in. It tells me how far I'm hitting the ball in any given day. No matter what the conditions are, you can bring it to the range. You can easily get those quick numbers you need. So, you know, sometimes, Mike, you're hitting the 7-iron. It's only going 140 instead of 160. It's good to know that when you're heading out to the course for the day. And the FlightScope Mevo helps you do that. So our promo code is COL10 for 10% off of your Mevo unit. Another friend of ours as well, too, the swingman, Jeremy Nowak, is also part of the FlightScope family. Check it all out at flightscope.com. Again, promo code COL10 for 10% off of your Mevo unit today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Groovit Golf, and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, they were at TPC Craig Ranch out in McKinney in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, kind of the northeast side of Dallas-Fort Worth. New course. Same tournament, lots of Texans in the field, which were monopolizing our picks. But it was the theme for this year is either first time winners or people returning to the winner's circle.
Yeah.
And for the fifth time, we had a first time winner this season, K.H. Lee. Just wow. 25 under par, 28 birdies.
Yeah, that is about as crazy as it gets in terms of going low. 25 under for the week, 28 birdies. Wow, for K.H. Lee. And we saw this right from the beginning on Thursday morning. I peeped the leaderboard and guys were already like 5-6 under par before I could get going watching in the morning. And as soon as I saw the clubhouse lead at 9 under par by Jordan Spieth on Thursday afternoon, I knew things were going to get out of control real quick this week with the scoring.
Yeah, it just kept going lower and lower and lower as the week went on. I felt good having Jordan on my card and with him playing really well on Thursday. I thought I'd have a real chance. And he just kept falling back, not so much because he wasn't playing well, because everyone else was just playing so well.
Yeah, falling back, you know, shooting 2-3 under every single day after that 63 to start. It's like you had to at least be shooting 65, 66 to keep pace with the lead each day. Mm-hmm. The great tweet that I saw this past week, which encapsulated at all, and you'll appreciate from a baseball perspective, is TPC Craig Ranch was playing like Coors Field. For baseball fans who know, that field out in Colorado is the official park of home run balls going very far, and everyone was just bombing it out there and having a day at TPC Craig Ranch.
Yeah, it was just, you know, anything you can do, I can do better over and over again.
Yeah, Texans are all over the leaderboard. Will Zalatoris, not a great week. Ryan Palmer had a good start. Sebastian Munoz had a decent week. So there was that allegiance of those Dallas guys who knew the course and whatnot. But, boy, it doesn't matter when you're K.H. Lee and you're on fire that much. Even just an absolute rain soaker and a flash flood event on Sunday couldn't stop him from getting that first win.
Yeah, that early start on Sunday, an over 2 hour rain delay on Sunday again as well. So they thought they'd finish the golf before they got onto coverage on CBS, and instead they got to finish the golf on CBS.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, everyone was obviously going boohoo about the moving forward. And once you saw the rain coming midday Sunday, and you know how relentless it can be in that Dallas Metroplex area once the storms get going, you knew why they started as early as they did. Thank God they had the squeegees out for the last three holes, and the last couple groups were able to finish later in the afternoon when they had a break in the action. Shout out to K.H. Lee for getting win number one. And what I really want to commend K.H. for after he won on the 18th green with Amanda Baliones, you know, it's clear that English is definitely not his first language and something that he's learning right now. But I really want to commend him for speaking as much English as he could. And he did a really great job encapsulating his emotions. And the words were limited, but the emotion came through and it showed you just how much this win meant to him.
That's always exciting to see someone learning the language. And though at the same time, I'd love to see us do more like we did at the Masters and hear more of the broadcast being done like in
the overseas podcast. Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to see that
Korean feed sometime this week then, Mike. I think that's the move. I saw you'll appreciate this too. Cage Lee, big hug with KJ Choi, a little golf name from our past, a fellow Korean girl, was there to see him win. So that was a good emotional moment for him as well. And he's on to the PGA. He gets to play this week and everything is carte blanche for him for a few years down the road.
That's true. We'll talk about the PGA Championship coming up in a little bit. But first, let's talk about rain on courses, because it rained on Sunday up there in McKinney. And that meant that they had to do some rain delays. And the course, maybe because of the weather, would you say it was playing at a championship level?
It was just fine. It took a couple hours to take the squeegee up. Like, it was not crazy.
You know, I was reminded as well by everything going on this week. I think it was last year, the LPGA, because of how wet one course was, they actually shortened the course to 12 holes and still went out there and played.
Yes.
So there are ways to make a course playable for these professionals or amateurs that want to go out and play a course and you know, compete in a round of golf. But the NCAA decided that that's not right. That if the course is even a bit wet, like damp towel that's been sitting for 2 hours after you took a shower, it's no longer appropriate to allow the women of college golf to play in a regional NCAA final.
Just one of the most important tournaments of their life. No big deal to get into the NCAA championships. This was an unbelievable atrocity. And we said that we have to basically pants the NCAA along with what Barstool Sports did for this unbelievable error that they committed. Essentially, what happened was the NCAA regionals in Baton Rouge were getting delayed on and on by rain. And there was absolutely really no backup plan and no actual plan of action the entire week as things got delayed. Mm-hmm. And the delays progressed. It came time to make a decision on what they were going to do. They had no backup course planned, no alternative venue, no alternate idea if for some reason they weren't able to play at a championship level according to the NCAA's tournament. And they really just delivered a real haphazard announcement in canceling this amazing moment for these girls. And that really
threw me off. This course is playable, but not at the level we wanted to play at, which let's just call it what it is. That's bullshit.
Everybody wanted to play.
Why? I don't understand the logic going through their heads to say, you know, this course, it's not in a level where, you know, we want people to be scoring like, you know, we want winners to be at 2 under par, 4 under par. The course in its current condition, they're probably going to be at like 2 over. We don't want that. We don't want them finishing at over par. So is that the logic that went through their heads, do you think?
Oh, God, man. I mean, it's really sad. It sadly could be. I sincerely hope it's not, because you and I know that golf is a game of conditions, and that what makes it so unique is that every single out day on the golf course is different in its own way based on what Mother Nature throws at you. So everyone is playing under the exact same conditions, no matter whether this is a soaking wet golf course or a dry desert course in a Phoenix sun in 115 degree heat, which they're actually ironically going to go to later. It's unbelievable to think that they could make a decision like this based off potentially that merit.
It's like something else I saw on Twitter, too. I forget who it was that said it, because there was so much golf Twitter just erupted around this, rightfully so. Was like saying how what the NCAA did there was like if you had a game between Auburn and Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. It rained and the ground was wet and you decided to call the game and let, you know, Clemson advance because they were the higher seed. It's like, just what? You wouldn't do that there. You wouldn't do that even if this was the men out there playing. You wouldn't do this if this was, you know, men's lacrosse. So why are you the NCAA has continually screwed over women's sports this year. From we can't even call it March Madness for the women's basketball tournament.
Yes.
With their sad excuse for a weight room. And now this, the NCAA has continually been a laughingstock, and they just need to go. it's time for them to go.
It's unbelievably horribly mismanaged on all fronts with this tournament. It was embarrassing just being a college golf fan and watching these tournaments unfold as well, because I know how great the drama it is and how much it means to each team. So essentially, in summation, what they did is they canceled the women's regional. They declared the top six seeds were just going to move forward without even hitting a golf shot. And all the rest of the seeds, including our Quinnipiac Bobcats, shout out to the Lady Bobcats, did not even get a chance to advance to the NCAA championships. Fortunately, our friends, and we've profiled a couple employees there, Barstool Sports, stepped in big time. Shout out to Riggs and the Foreplay podcast, leaders in the golf media community. They stepped in and said, we're not going to let this be the way that all these teams go out. And they created the Let Them Play tournament. And they're actually going to invite all those teams that did not qualify for the NCAA finals out to Arizona and play later this week. They're going to get their last chance to show off their talent one more time for their teams in the nation, which is just a fantastic pick up and save by Barstool in this moment.
Yeah, thank goodness the NCAA allowed them to do this, because, you know, they already had their pants around their ankles and just had crap all over their faces from everything that they had done there. How much worse would it have been if they said, no, we can't allow it to happen. I'm sorry, guys. That's not how it works.
Have fun either.
We're not going to let you do that.
The real competition, and we're not even going to cancel the fun one that we're just doing for charity.
I hope several people in the NCAA got fired. I really do, because this was so horrifically done. And it's just clear that if it's not college football or men's basketball, the NCAA doesn't care.
We'll be sure to highlight the Let Them Play tournament later this week in Arizona. It's going to be cool to see those teams in action. I'm looking forward to seeing the Quinnipiac Bobcats in action, too, who won the MAC conference for the first time in program history. So this was a really exciting moment for them. I'm glad that Barstool is putting the event on and making the best of an ugly situation.
Let's talk about a feel-good story from this past week. Yes, now that we've gotten all of that crap out of our system, let's talk about Richard Bland on the European Tour.
This was freaking awesome. Honestly, I think this was the highlight of the weekend. If you search around all the tours, it was the Betfred British Masters, a Wednesday to Saturday finish. So Saturday morning, I noticed Richard Bland was on the leaderboard. This is a name I knew just kind of casually, Mike. I learned a bit of his backstory. I didn't realize that he had gone almost 500 starts on the European Tour without winning once.
Crazy.
At 48 years old. And he was in contention on Saturday, had the moment, had the opportunity, drilled up about, I think, a 35 or 40 foot bomb on 18 and ended up getting that first win. Really emotional moment.
I mean, there's nothing better than getting a W. Let's talk about perseverance. We've talked about it previously as one of the first tee core tenets. That is the definition of perseverance, to just keep going out there week after week. You're not winning, but you enjoy the game. You like playing and you like the competition. So it's always been to me in a lot of things I do and a lot of competitions I've done before. And I think you'd agree it's not really about winning. It's about the journey and everything you do along the way. And now he finally gets that victory, because don't get me wrong, winning is awesome.
And the journey gets you there just in the right way. It sometimes takes longer than it for others than some people. 25 plus years for Richard Bland. And you mentioned those tough times too. There were a few times when he lost his card, had to go to Q school, get it back. So through all these decades, just been fighting and fighting for these opportunities. Finally got a good one, took advantage of it. And it was very emotional seeing him on the Zoom call with his family. You'll appreciate this, Mike. He was on with his mom and his family. Mom said, "Son, when you come home, I'll cook whatever you want." And he said, I want a lamb roast, Mom. I want a lamb roast. Done. Oh, lamb roast done. It. So whatever Richard wants, he gets. So shout out to the first breakthrough win for the 48-year-old.
Love it. Nothing going on in the LPGA this week. They had a travel week coming back from Asia, Thailand. They're going from the Pacific to Williamsburg, Virginia, my wedding town.
Pure silk. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
They're going to Kings Mill Resort. Very swanky area in Williamsburg, Virginia.
You know a little bit about that area. It's a nice little spot.
I do. You know, cool. So it's good a nice stuff. Area there.
Look forward to covering them next week. But obviously what we got to get to is the elephant in the room, because it is a major championship week. I think it's semi-snuck up on me just because I really enjoy the last few weeks of coverage and kind of the way the schedule lays out. So that quick jump from the April Masters to the May PGA, we're still learning that timetable with the golf calendar. But alas, it's here, and we're going to a very unique course in Kiawah Island, not too far down the road from you.
Yeah, Kiawa, just up the coast, just south of Charleston, from me here in Savannah. And a course let, surprisingly, a fairly new course, Pete Dye course, if you remember in terms of newness. We were alive at the time, but maybe not really paying attention to golf. It was awarded the Ryder Cup before it was even built.
Yes, that's right. The famous War by the Shore, very competitive Ryder Cup. I want to say 91 or 93.
91, 1991.
One hole longer, 5-foot putt to retain the Ryder Cup. He missed it. And the U.S. won the War by the Shore. They had that amazing moment there. And then the other one was Rory McIlroy, absolutely rolling and crushing the field here. It was, I believe, an 8-shot victory or something along those lines for a past PGA here. That sets the stage for the Ocean Courts this week.
Yeah, Rory returning in pretty good form. The question is, could he do something like he did before? Because he's with one other player in terms of winning a major by 8 or more strokes. Do you know who the other player is other than Rory?
Our friend Tiger did it a couple times.
That's right.
Anyone in the 12 stroke win club or the 15 stroke win club? I don't think anyone else.
If there is, it's Tiger. So, yes, you know. So obviously PGA Championship, a big field as you would expect, and a defending champion, Colin Morikawa, who has never defended a title of any kind, all three of his victories coming, or four of his victories coming over the past three seasons
as well too. So I'm watching him. I got him on my list. I haven't seen him on the leaderboard a lot recently, but he's definitely in that group of about 10 to 15 guys I'm going to be pondering for what my full card looks like Wednesday night. I'm at Course of Life One and you're at MWRINC on Twitter. We'll get the full picks Wednesday night, but I got to talk with a little bit of a British Open voice and persona as I look at this venue. This is an oceanside venue. It's going to look very similar to Lynx Golf. The wind is going to be a huge factor all week. It is howling off the water. You know how it blows there. I'm looking for a guy who's got a real good demeanor, isn't afraid to play a lower ball, and is good around the greens, because you're going to need to scramble the hell out of the ball to win this week.
I think what you're saying is you're not going for bomb and gouge Bryson here.
No, this is not. There's room off the tee, but this does not feel like a bomber's paradise week. It feels like a guy who does hit the ball long and who's playing to the right side of the fairway, playing the right side of the green and getting up and down when they need to. That could be one of many different ball strikers. In terms of the top of the list, I'm definitely interested in DJ this week. He's a guy that's kind of flying under the radar, and he's always in that group of favorites. Since his odds are down to close to like 18 or 20 to 1, that's actually pretty low odds for DJ compared to what he usually comes in at during these majors. So as boring as it may be, I'm feeling that this might be a DJ week. So he's definitely one guy that's on my short list. Who are you looking at?
So I'm looking at someone who's been playing well, who, when I think about the year, you know, who won at the Open, I'm thinking of Louis Oosthuizen.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, there's some good odds there. He's coming in around 55-61 now. Did have that good week with Charles Schwartzel a few weeks ago with Zurich. So there's a little something there if you want to go a little down the list. I don't hate that pick either. We talked about Morikawa coming in around 30-1 as well, too. Another guy who I'm looking at who's just under the radar. He's not in great condition, but he could just plow through the field out of nowhere if he gets the right feeling in his leg post-surgery. Brooks Koepka at 50-1. There's just some names up here that are a little further down the list than we're used to seeing him, which is why I'm kind of getting baited into a couple of more traditional picks. But obviously Sam Burns is going to get a lot of talk at 60-1. He comes off second place last week in a win a few weeks back. There's definitely a lot of guys that could get it done here. Just keep in mind that there's some long par fours out there. So if you're with a guy who doesn't quite hit it long and needs his best driving all day, I'm going to steer clear. A little length going to be needed this week to get it done.
Yeah, what do we think about Phil Mickelson maybe having his last tournament that he actually gets into on his own merits?
Yes, yeah, we're running out of exemptions here for Phil in these majors. He's going to have to get it done the old-fashioned way, which is play well instead of just being who he is to get into these for the future. He's going off somewhere in the neighborhood of like 200 or 300 to 1. So if you want to throw a dollar flyer on him, again, elephant in the room, Jordan Spieth trying to complete the career Grand Slam. Has all majors except this one, Mike. Boy, what a breakthrough win that would be this week if he got it done.
I mean, you can't count him out in terms of his form recently. He played great this past week. He's obviously has a win under his belt over the last couple of weeks. So he, you know, his play is there right now. You can't say he's not playing well. So
one more flyer for you, which I know you'll appreciate this nugget. Max Homa, PGA Tour winner.
Bones on the bag.
Earlier this year.
Bones on the bag.
On the bag.
That's right.
175-1. This is that moment right here where if I hit this and the miracle happens, I'm going to sound like such a genius in this moment. Mm. Max Homa, bones on the bag, 175-1. You'll see a couple more picks on Twitter. Again, I'm at Course of Life 1. You're at MWRINC. So follow us. We put our picks out weekly, and you'll see ours for the PGA Wednesday night.
Can't wait. Let's turn over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. It was another award weekend, Alex. So what were you watching?
Yes, award show recap time here. The MTV Movie and TV Awards. Dear Lord, Mike, I have never felt so old watching this award show. Mm. You know, this was one of those award shows where in my younger days, I was an avid MTV watcher. You know, I still get down with my Floribama Shore and things like that from time to time. But, you know, back when MTV was really hitting its peak and they were actually playing music videos about 15, 10 years ago, you wouldn't believe it, but they were at one point. There was a lot to talk about with this award show. I knew none of the movies being featured. I didn't even know who was nominated for Best Kiss. I didn't even know who these people were. It's a seminal award of the night. So just the bottom line is I felt really out of tune, and my age is starting to show as I watch the show on Sunday night.
I think the first thing that shows your age is when you say back when MTV used to play music.
Exactly. Yeah, I told you I found that Saturday morning block at 7 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah, that's right.
But by the way, bad news about that. They play like the same 10 music videos over and over again.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah. It's just like top 40 radio. It's the same stuff over and over and over again.
Well, what are you tuned into?
I actually tuned out. We went kayaking this weekend.
The old tuned into nature, right?
Tuned into nature. And it was really nice to just get out in the water, kind of meander away through some of the marshes here in the Savannah area. And just relax. And it was pretty awesome.
Now the kayak, does it get stuck in the marshy grass often? Or do you have clear waterway to go through?
No, because there's kind of little creeks going in and out all the marshes and everything. And what was really awesome is we actually did this out near the ocean. We were at Tybee Island, which is right on the ocean.
Cool.
And Little Tybee right next to it. And you kind of go over kind of the Little Tybee River that goes right into the Atlantic. And on our way back, we ended up having a pod of dolphins about 50 yards from us for most of the way back in. So
people
really
paid good
awesome.
Money to see that on their boat tour, you know? Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you guys. So
that was pretty incredible.
Double dose of nature. Nice work there.
Yeah. Let's get into this week's guest, Alex. We love it when people come back on the podcast. And,
yes, there are people that like us, actually.
There are.
Don't mind talking to me more than once, which is crazy.
I do this for, it's not the money or the fame, so I don't know what I keep coming back on here and talking to you for. But Elizabeth Diane Martin came back and talked to you she talked to you from Colorado, right, where it's still snowing and still snowing in Colorado.
I mean, this is ridiculous. You'll hear more from it in our conversation, but Colorado winters are absolutely relentless. So I had to get into that right off the bat, but it was great to have Elizabeth back on. And we get into not only what's up with her and how her golf game has been recently, but she took a great trip to Riviera. So we get the full lowdown on the 18th hole, the clubhouse, the full course and everything. Great recap and good catch-up conversation with a favorite guest of ours, and Elizabeth Martin.
Love it. But first, before we get into that interview with Elizabeth Diane Martin, I want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Desert Fox team is based in Arizona, so they know golf, and the Phone Caddy is crafted by both golfers and engineers. The Phone Caddy is unique because it mounts right onto your golf cart in seconds in a place where you can actually see and use your phone. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy from Desert Fox. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model and quickly becomes the talk of your foursome. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors. You can even show your support with the Patriotic line. So head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com to get your Phone Caddy for your dad, because Father's Day is coming up.
That's right.
Don't forget to use the promo code Course of Life to save 10%, because dad would want you to try to save money. He would.
Yes.
So again, that's promo code Course of Life for 10% off at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Next up on the tee, we've got a return guest who's a good friend of the show. You can catch her supporting the veterans on the American Veterans Radio Show. She's Team PXG. She loves helping getting our veterans, and for that matter, everyone, into the game of golf. Great to have her on again. It's Elizabeth Diane Martin joining us here on The Course of Life. How you doing, Elizabeth?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Definitely. Last time we talked, it was two Masters ago, actually. So we were spoiling a lot of people, those great, great tournaments at Augusta. But I just wanted to kind of reset for everyone who didn't hear our first conversation, because you've always had a lot of involvement with, like I mentioned at the top, veterans being involved in the game of golf. The Veteran Golfers Association, the VGA, is someone you worked with closely. And you also work, like I said, on the American Veterans Radio Show. Just talk to me about kind of what the update is since the last time we talked, and how that venture is going for you now.
Yeah, it's going really great. Still involved in Parsons Extreme Golf, PXG, and getting the word out in regards to their apparel, their clubs. Being a correspondent with the American Veterans Show has been really an amazing opportunity. I've got to highlight not only veteran stories in the golf world, but also outside of the golf world, and spoken to some great organizations as well as some veterans that have been doing amazing things in the state of Colorado as well as outside the state of Colorado. And definitely looking to, you know, expand that to share veteran stories specifically, you know, with the game of golf and how golf has specifically saved their life or changed their life for the better. So it has been great. There's been a lot going on and some exciting things.
Nice. And just to recap for people who don't know where they can find that show, where can they tune into that show?
Yeah, so they can tune into it. It's www.americanveteranshow.com. That is where all of our weekly shows are housed from a podcast standpoint. And then you can find us on social media at americanveteranshow.com.
Nice. Love that. Awesome. So again, it's Elizabeth Diane Martin joining us. And you mentioned Colorado, which is where you're from. I saw some pictures on social media from you recently, and it blew my mind that you guys had some serious April snow in Colorado. But I realized that this isn't that abnormal. What's going on? Why is the weather so drunk in late spring in Colorado? It's definitely been delaying the start of golf season, I feel like, for you.
Yeah, I would love to know what Colorado is doing. Usually we have some winter storms that go into March and April. However, this winter has been a little crazy. About 2 days ago, there was snow on the ground, and it's gone now. That's the great thing about Colorado, is that it will snow and it will melt pretty quickly, which is awesome for golf. But yeah, it's definitely delayed our golf season a little bit. And there's been days where it's been 80 degrees and you can get out and golf, and then, you know, the next day it's 20 degrees and snowing. So it's definitely one where you've got to be patient as a Colorado golfer and getting your season started. And we're getting started a little bit later here.
There's some serious light switch going on with the weather there in Colorado. It's very yes. Unpredictable. I read that April is the second snowiest month. Is that right? That sounded crazy to me, but
yeah, March is actually your snowiest month of the entire year. You think it would be December or January, you know, more of those traditional winter months, and it's not. It is actually March and April, which is pretty crazy.
What do you like doing in terms of when you're being held up inside? I saw one really cool place that you visited to help shape your game for indoor facilities, but what are things you do like to do when kind of the season's ready, but the snow is holding you back? Do you have like any indoor drills or places you like to kind of hang out and work on your game from the comfort of the warmth?
Yeah, so I've been hanging out at a golf facility that is here in Colorado, and that opened up two locations called X Golf, as well yes. as one of my local courses just opened an indoor trackman simulator. So it's been awesome to get out to that local course, which is Bear Dance Golf Club, and actually be able to play 18 holes indoors while it's snowing outside. So that has been awesome. That has been a really benefit for me this year, because I go a little stir crazy. Usually I travel a lot during the winter months to a warmer location so that I can golf. But that indoor facility, as well as the TrackMan simulator, has been awesome to keep me going.
Yeah, I don't know how you're holding up. I went stir crazy when there was about a week and a half with a life-threatening snowstorm here in Texas that took my golf away, but it came back really fast. So credit to you for your patience. But I am curious about that X-Golf you mentioned, because I've seen simulators before back in the day when I was a kid, and you would go into like an old shady building, like behind some batting cages, and there might be like one projector hooked up that'll play like a couple different courses that you could see in real time. I'm guessing that this X-Golf is a little bit more elaborate. Like, well, what's the setup looking like there when you walk in?
Yeah, the technology is amazing. I would say it even in some instances is better than TrackMan. And it's crazy that I am saying that. But yeah, the reason is that it's not only from a, you know, simulator standpoint, it's just the actual experience. So the bays are a little bit bigger. The awesome thing is that you press a button, your ball is teed up. You can adjust your tee height, which I know has been a complaint for, you know, those that are indoors, as well as if you're going to, you know, other facilities, you can't adjust it.
Definitely.
You can actually change the screen left to right, which is similar to a TrackMan. And then you can pull up, you know, hundreds of courses like Pebble Beach, Spanish Bay, and you can play them as if you were there, shot for shot. They also have putting, which TrackMan does do putting, but their putting technology from X-Golf is really cool, because you can, you know, line up your ball, you can actually see how many yards are to the screen, and it's pretty accurate. So it keeps that part of your game going when normally, you know, you might just be hitting a full swing on another facility.
Yes, I remember the putting on those old simulators back in the day used to be a pretty big guessing game. That was always tricky to figure
out.
So I bet the technology has advanced a lot there. That's really cool. I love that place. Shout out to X-Golf. I'm wondering, do they have Riviera on their list of prestigious courses at X-Golf, though?
That's a good question. I don't think they do. I do know that they have Pebble, because I've played that a couple times. They've also got a couple of the different, you know, PGA Tour events, but that is one that I don't think that they have. Otherwise, I would be playing that one every day.
Nice. That's my segue, because I know you got to experience in real life. This is what I wanted to hear about. So for those who don't know, Riviera, host of the Los Angeles Open forever now. It's a great course there, right inside the inner depths of the city as well, too, in a really cool neighborhood. And we've had a couple different guests share experiences from there, but I want to kind of have you walk us through the round and your experience at the course. First off, you know, how did you get there, and who did you play with when you played Riviera recently?
Yeah, so this is actually my second time playing Riviera, which is hard to believe. And I'll give you background on why it's so important to me, and then I'll talk through what my experience was. So background, this was the first PGA Tour event that I had ever been to, was at Riviera, showed up at the Genesis Open, saw Tiger play that day. It was a Thursday. Remember, he did not make the cut, which historically he does not at Riviera.
Yes.
And I'll talk more into, you know, why I feel like that is, but saw him tee off, fell in love with the course and just fell in love with the atmosphere of the PGA Tour. And so I was hooked from there. And ever since that moment of walking in, seeing the beautiful Italian, clubhouse that's up on a hill, and then you walk down really into the course, which has got a cool format. And just the history that was there, especially on the first tee, which I'll talk about more here in a moment, it just gave me chills. So I was hooked. I was bound and determined that I was going to get on Riviera. And luckily I was able to build connections, to get on there, that December after seeing that event in February.
Yeah, so there's a lot of tour tournaments out there, like throughout the calendar. But I'd say if you think about like just kind of memorable, notable first tee pictures that I can picture in my head, Riviera is like definitely in the top 10. Of just, you can really easily picture that kind of hilltop first tee spot. Hey, explain to me what it was like going off there.
Yeah, so it for me, I would say that it's the most intimidating tee shot, and there's a lot of people that would disagree with me, but for me, it is the fact that there is so much history there. That was Tiger's first PGA Tour showcase or tee off when he was 16 at the LA Open.
Yes, that's right.
There has been, you know, greatness in regards to Hogan that has teed off there. I mean, you name it. I feel like, yes, that tee shot is historic, but it's also got a lot of really cool, just ambiance in regards to the environment. So this year was a little different than, because of COVID. They did not have a starter that announces you, but what usually happens is you actually walk up, there's a starter that announces you. As if you were on the PGA Tour event teeing off, they give, you know, essentially Elizabeth Martin, Denver, Colorado, and now teeing off, which love is that. So cool. And it just, you know, gives me chills in regards to it, which is why the first time that was the most intimidating tee shot for me, because it felt like I was actually playing in a tournament, like I was there, that I was being taken back in a time, as well as, you know, having all the greatness and all the golfers for me tee off and just having that be my moment. It was really, really cool. So unfortunately, due to COVID, they did not have a starter, but that tee shot for me, even this go around, was just super special. I golfed with a connection that I have there, as well as my boyfriend, and it was just an amazing day. The weather was absolutely perfect. And there was a light breeze, which really helped because we walked the course. You can take a cart. However, just from an experience standpoint, I would recommend anybody that is golfing there for the first time, or even, you know, if you've been there 100 times, to walk the course, because you really do get the full experience, not only of the course layout, but just of, you know, being able to take in things. As an example, there's a rock on, I believe it's 4, if I'm remembering the hole number correctly, in regards to the greatest par 3 and why it's the greatest par 3 that is there. And there's just so much history that you would miss if you were in a cart and, you know, you were just on the cart path and then walking to the tee box. So I would encourage anybody to walk it. And for me, I actually played really well, played a lot better than the first round. I think the first round for me, it was a lot of jitters in regards to like, oh my gosh, I'm actually here. I'm actually golfing here. Yeah. I think I was taking pictures and just really starstruck or in awe of not only the beauty of the course, but the fact that I was actually playing it. So the second go around was a little bit more relaxed. My game definitely showed up, and, you know, I actually parred the hardest hole on the course. My caddy told me that when I was hole high in 2, you know, and I was like, what? Like, I am hole high, you know, on the green in 2. And he's telling me, oh yeah, by the way, this is the number one handicap on the course. Which I, at that moment, I was like, really? Okay. So let's see if I can.
Perfect timing for my messaging from the caddy. Right.
It was, but, and that's the other thing too. I mean, historically, if you were a member there, you don't have to take a caddy. If you're a guest, they do advise or require you to take a caddy. And that's another really cool experience, because those greens, and this is my reason why I think Tiger does not make the cut there, those greens are extremely challenging. Are difficult to read because they are going left, right, up, down, sideways, all in the exact same line, because of how the greens are laid out. And that's, it's just super tricky. Even if you're amazing at reading greens, there are some where you will look at it and you will be like, I know this putt is breaking right, and it will break left right at a split second at the end.
Yeah, that makes sense with your mind throughout the day, definitely.
It does. And you're like, okay, where's the ocean? Okay, it's going to break towards the ocean. No, it doesn't. And so having a caddy being able to help with green reading was super beneficial. But yeah, it is a tough course, especially rough-wise. If you get in the rough, it is extremely hard to get out. And then you add those greens on top of it. And depending on the temperature and, you know, what the course looks like, especially for the Genesis Open, that's why I feel like so many players have a difficult time not only making the cut, but just even, you know, placing at that event. Because it is a course that it is beautiful, but once you get on it in those conditions, it will eat you alive.
It's always a grind there. You never see anyone running away with that tournament. That's for sure.
No.
There's a couple holes I wanted to ask about on the course, but I'm just curious in terms of the walk in general, since you did walk all 18 holes. It's in Pacific Palisades, just a beautiful part of Los Angeles. You don't get to see a ton of it from a TV perspective, but I'm imagining there are some amazing homes on or near that property. Anything specifically notable you saw on your day there?
There are. So I would say that's another really fun part of the walk, is because you can look around and just
see. I'm just here for the real estate, you know?
Yeah, right? These $1 million, and they're probably a lot more than $1 million, you know, 10 million plus homes that are actually built on this hillside. And you're seeing their pools, you're seeing their view of the course, which is just crazy. And that was really cool to see. The interesting piece of it is that a lot of them are under construction. And I would say that was even what I experienced the first round at Riviera. And I think it is just because, you know, you might have ownership change, or they're just wanting to expand and doing developments. And we were actually talking to the caddy about one house where it was all open. There was maybe one window that was up, and we were like, wow, this guy looks like he's doing something really cool. And it was all windows in the back looking out to the course. And there was only one window. And the caddy told us that apparently these windows are made in Switzerland, and that they all came in broken and they were delayed due to COVID. And he only has one window up because it's the only one window that made it. And he's been building this house for years. I think he's mentioned 10 years, which to me is just crazy. I mean, building a house, and I've had that experience, you know, building a house, it's a process, but you don't think it would take you 10 years to build a house.
Probably custom everything, right, Elizabeth?
Correct. It is, which if you were living, you know, on that property and you were overlooking that prestigious course, I totally understand why you would want everything, you know, 100% custom.
Nice. Let's talk about a couple holes in the course. I have to touch on hole number 10. It's a very interesting hole. It gets a lot of publicity during the tournament week. It's a really short par four that has a really slender green that's kind of surrounded by a horseshoe bunker. You see a lot of big numbers and interesting things happen there. There's a lot of risk reward in the hole itself. I'm curious how you fared on number 10, and what was the strategy for you? Since I imagine you've probably seen the hole play out a lot of times on TV.
I have. So strategy on 10, the bunkers for me, of course, are a little bit closer in than the PGA tees. So it was a little in that hole has really always been a little intimidating for me, because once you get in the bunkers there earlier, it can be a challenge to get out. So on that, I actually went, based on my caddy's advice, a little bit to the left. And if you hit it down, essentially, there's this little part of the fairway that is towards the left-hand side, where you avoid the bunker somewhat. They still come into play on your second shot, depending on how far you can get that first tee shot down there. But I actually did not get in the bunkers. I'll talk about another hole, and you might be mentioning it here. But I was in a bunker and actually had a beautiful bunker shot out. At another hole, but 10, I avoided the bunkers, which is a hard task to do because they are surrounding the green in every single area.
Yeah, seriously, I'm impressed you avoided them at 10. Where was that other bunker? I'm willing to guess it might have been that lovely par three where the sand sits in the middle of the green, but was it somewhere else?
It was that one. So yeah, my tee shot was a little short. It was a beautiful tee shot. I mean, it, number one, felt great, sounded great. It would literally just hit the lip of that bunker and rolled back down. So I was on the right hand side of those bunkers. My second shot, I got out and I actually got very close to the hole. And then I putted in and it was beautiful. I was shocked, because those bunkers that first round ate me alive. The first time I was there, I was in almost every single bunker it felt like at Riviera. And there were times where I was like, there's no end in sight. I can't get out.
Yeah, that's very iconic hole. I love that you went in the middle of the donut and got out alive too. Nice.
I did. It was great.
How about finishing on 18, a tricky kind of 18 uphill par four? It's got a lot of kind of side hill lies. How did you wind out the round at Riviera?
Yeah, so I winded it out pretty well. I would say my tee shot was a little bit more right than I was planning it to be. So there are a layer or line of trees rather that are really cool and are really cool looking. They're eucalyptus trees. So I got close to that. It wasn't, you know, that I was in the tree or, you know, under it. It was just a little close to it. So a little right of the fairway. I actually laid up, which I hate admitting, but I laid up to get back into the fairway and then got on the green and had a two putt, so it wasn't too awful of a recovery, but that that just green on 18 is one of my favorites. The walk from the tee box up to that green is one of my favorites. The reason is that you've got the clubhouse right in front of you. You've got the trees. It is on a hill that literally slopes from left to right. And you just know how much history has been made on that green, not only with the Genesis Open, but with every other tournament that has finished there. And so it's really cool to walk that walk. And once again, like the first tee shot, just have in your head of all of the history that has already taken place there. And this is your own, you know, walk of that being a part of that history and everything that you've seen, on TV and will continue to see on TV. So the 18th hole is actually one of my favorites at Riviera.
So cool. Love that recount from the course. Again, it's Elizabeth Diane Martin joining us again on the Course of Life here to recap that round. Now that I heard about the course, I am curious about what's inside that lovely Italian clubhouse you'd mentioned. We previously had Trista Crick from Barstool Sports on. She played at Riviera and said she had the most bougie 19th hole meal ever at Riviera. She actually had stone crabs for her 19th hole answer. It was one of the craziest answers I've ever gotten for that question. I'm curious, did you eat it all? Or did you even just see the inside of the clubhouse? And is it as immaculate as I'm imagining it?
Yeah, so the inside of the clubhouse is absolutely immaculate. The locker rooms, both the men and women locker rooms, I've not been in the men's locker room, just to clarify. I have had sources that have confirmed this for me. But both locker rooms, I would say, is just a step back into the history books. It is all 19th, 20s decor with pictures of golfers on there and movie stars that you've heard about and you have seen, but you never thought, oh, they played here, or oh, that tournament was here. So really,
yeah, Hollywood's right next door. Yeah,
yeah. Walking through not only the clubhouse, but really the locker rooms is like walking through a golf museum. And it is just so breathtaking and so cool to once again be like, wow, this is what happened here. And from a food standpoint, I have not eaten at Riviera. I have had a couple of drinks there. And those have been just absolutely amazing. And, you know, whiskey drinks for me, that's the route I go. It's just been out of control the way that the presentation is. Once again, you feel like you're back in that 1920s era. And just the beautifulness of the clubhouse is breathtaking. One of my favorite parts about the clubhouse is actually upstairs in the patio area. You overlook the first tee, and it is just absolutely amazing. So for me, that's where I watch Tiger tee off. And so always going back there and being able just to see what the course looks like on that day is one of my favorite spots. And then of course you've got the pro shop, which everybody knows when you walk in there, you just want to hand over your credit card and not look at the final bill. Because what they have, not only from a clothing standpoint, but even glasses and anything similar to Augusta, anything you can put a logo on it, they have it on there. I would say it's a little less intimidating than the Augusta gift shop, just because of the size, and you can actually, have a moment to breathe and look at shirts and look at things. But that is just, it's an amazing thing too, just to be able to look at their merchandise, and then once again, just look around to see what's on the wall in the pro shop.
When you walk into the pro shops, these club pros, they've got dollar signs on their eyes. They're looking forward to your arrival, because I know you're big on the merch when you visit these places.
Oh yeah, definitely. And, you have to have the hat, the pullover, the polo and ball marker. And that's where, my golf collection of memorabilia keeps adding up, and I've got to get more space for it. But it's really one of those things where, documenting, at least for me, which is a bucket list item of golfing every top 100 course in the US, you've got to document it, and you've got to have those little memories where when you get back to reality, and you get back to the real world of golf, you can always just see that logo and smile, or, remember that day where you had that experience.
Love it. Again, it's Elizabeth Diane Martin, Elizabeth_Diane22 on Instagram. Only one account. No imposters out there. This is the original right. one that we're talking to right here. You are, again, it's the American Veterans Radio Show that you can hear worldwide online. I want to talk about your newest endeavor, though, because you did tease that when we were talking recently. And I'm curious, what's up next for you? What do you have going on these days?
Yeah, so can't release full details yet, but we'll have to come back and give you a full rundown in regards to what's going on.
Give us a 30-second tease now.
Yeah, 30-second tease is I have a media company that I'm launching with some amazing things on, you know, how you can experience things like Riviera or just course experiences in the game of golf and things that I've had the opportunity to do while having a full-time job. So it's really walking you through how you can do that and some tips and tricks.
That's great. There's a lot of people out there listening right now that need those tips and tricks. So exciting stuff and looking forward to another announcement on that too. A couple of things I wanted to check back in on. Since I know you're a big hockey fan. Avs, you're a big Colorado Avs fan. They're looking good this year. Have you gotten to a game or where are they with fans? You got any plans to get to a game soon? Because it looks like the playoffs are in store real soon for you.
Oh yeah. We secured that playoff spot, which I am super happy about. I feel like this is our year to get the cup, and everyone's like, don't say that, you're going to jinx us. And honestly, I feel so passionate about this team this year that I am that confident that I can say it because this is the best that we have looked since, you know, 2001, really 2010 since their last cups. And I'm probably misstating those years, but I really feel like we've got it in the bag here in regards to, in regards to this year in the cup. From a fan standpoint, they're allowing fans. I have not actually gotten out to a game. The tickets went really, really fast, which is just another indication of, you know, how great sports fans are here in Colorado.
Yeah, if it's Colorado content as well, too, be sure to follow Elizabeth because she shows us a lot of her home state as well. Thank you so much for hopping on with us this week on The Course of Life. Looking forward to hearing more of your new endeavor and all the golf content you have coming our way as well.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
That interview with Elizabeth Diane Martin is brought to you by our friends at Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. You've seen it on the bags of tour caddies and your favorite athletes and golf personalities on social media. And it's the brush to get for your dad for Father's Day.
That's right. It's Father's Day. Thank you for these reminders, by the way.
Here for you. And the Groovit Brush is great. It's got a patented pump that sprays water or cleaning solution right onto the club face for you, so you can quickly and efficiently clean your clubs and your golf ball in seconds. It's got a detachable magnet, so you can pop it off the bag and bring it to your club. And the Groovit Brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. That means you can wear out the brush head cleaning clubs in 3 years, send it back, and Groovit will get you a free replacement. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you. Using your existing clubs of the Groovit, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So dad won't blame the clubs anymore. He'll blame the ball.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com to get your Groovit brush with free shipping in the U.S. for your dad for Father's Day. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com to get your Groovit brush today. And we're back. Great chat there with Elizabeth Diane Martin. I'm excited about this new thing. I'm really curious to see what it's going to be.
Yes. I love the new venture tees too. Always exciting to see these companies get started, and love having Elizabeth on and having her share what she's working on, who she's working with, and maybe some travel content as well too. Maybe we can get together, you know, a little Playcation series action coming your way in 2021. So hopefully that comes to fruition. But again, if you like that interview or anything else that we do on the podcast, be sure to subscribe where podcasts are available, where you're listening to us now, or subscribe on YouTube as well. If you like your podcast there, we have full-length videos of my rounds as well too. All sorts of great content for you at every social media outlet imaginable. So follow along and enjoy us for the ride, because there's a lot more coming too.
And if you don't like us and you don't want to subscribe, I'm going to start posting videos of my rounds and no one wants to see that. So Ooh. Just help out everybody else and subscribe.
That's the ultimate threat right there. Nice work.
That's it. There we go. I finally figured it out after all this time how to get people to do it.
That's how you scare people away and subscribing. Nice work.
That's how we do it. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes. Shout out to our friends at Toasty Bites. Our promo code is COL20. COL20 for 20% off. Or just head to toasty.com/COL.
And you know, they're great on the golf course, but they were great to have in my kayak halfway through my, you know, my time out there.
On the water snack.
Yeah, on the water snack with Toasty Snacks. It was great.
Super versatile. Nice. I enjoyed mine at the 10th this past weekend. Shot a 78 as well. So it propelled me to a great back nine. Fun fact, I ate the Toasty bar on the 10th tee. And birdied the 10th hole. So just do that what you may. Just a small sample size, but you know.
Interpret that as you will, but the correlation seems to suggest eating a Toasty Snacks results in a birdie.
So if you can fill yourself up and have 18 around, Godspeed. But nonetheless, we love our friends at Toasty. Shout out to the Toasty Bites. Great snack. Enjoy it for yourself. My always end with food note is on food shortages that I've noticed.
Yeah.
I went up to my anniversary dinner last week in an Italian restaurant. And they said, oh, by the way, just to let you know, we have a shortage on bread. And so there's no bread at all in this entire restaurant. I was like, oh, that's a bit of a downer as I'm going into an Italian restaurant. But okay, I saw Chick-fil-A sauce is on a shortage right now.
So
have you seen this in other places?
I saw this Chick-fil-A sauce because I live in Georgia, like Chick-fil-A capital of the world here.
Yes.
So it's like, you don't understand. The lines are like an hour long for Chick-fil-A here. It's so crazy. I don't understand it. But my problem with Chick-fil-A sauce having a shortage, they sell it in the grocery store now. I could go buy a bottle at my local Publix or Kroger, no problem. So how come the restaurant is having a shortage?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who might not be as intelligent as you out there who haven't quite picked up on that yet. So that could be a
really
contributor. But
I shouldn't say anything to insult them there.
I've noticed the shortages. However, I think it's also kind of like a good sign. It means that kind of we're all coming back. We're all getting back out again. Mm-hmm. The restaurants, they just got to adjust. They need to adjust their orders here in the next several weeks. So be patient as you head back out to your local restaurants. Support them. They've had a tough year. We're all going to swing through this and turn out the other end much better for it. But yeah, food shortages right now. But definitely an issue that hit my life in the last week. What have you been up to food-wise?
Well, you know, I'm not having shortages because I'm making my own stuff. I made my own hamburger buns this weekend. So,
yes.
You know.
I saw this. And hello to the folks in the Burger King marketing department who are listening. If you're interested in improving your bun recipe, it is for sale and you can DM us and we will give it to you for a hefty price. This bun recipe with these sesame seeds on it, Mike. It looked pretty neat. I was impressed.
First of all, I don't think it's right for me to sell it because it's actually from King Arthur Flour. So.
Is that some sort of plagiarism thing or something like that? I don't know. Really
might be plagiarism. All, but, yeah. Might be plagiarism. These were great. Some had sesame seeds. I had some everything bagel seasoning sitting around. And I was like, oh, I'm using this on a couple of these buns too. So we had sesame seeds. We had everything bagel seasoning on some others. So, which some people may go, why would you put everything bagel seasoning on a bun? But those of us from the North know that there's such a thing as an onion roll, you know, or onion bun where you got dry onions on it.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do a beef on weck, which is a very upstate New York thing, it's got to be on an onion roll. So
speaking the language of the top right of the country right now.
Nice. I know.
Shout out beef on weck and hashtag always end with food. I love that. I just want to compliment you one more time on those hamburger buns. They look
great.
So realistically amazing that I imagine they held together a beautifully juicy burger for you.
They did. And you know, we love talking about food. We've been doing Always End with Food since almost when we started this podcast, right?
It's been going 2 years now. Yeah.
It's been a long time. And we like it so much, we decided we want to talk about food even more than we already do.
Yes, very excited to announce that the Always End with Food podcast is officially a go, and it's going to be launching by the end of this month in May, very soon. So it's Always End with Food Pod on Instagram. Be sure to go follow there right now because we're going to start posting some teasers. But this is essentially going to be our food outlet on the internet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that you see on our wonderful Course of Life channels that we get out to you about what's going on in our life and everything that we make and everything that we bake and everything that we're cooking and everything that we get. But there's a lot of food content that just sits out there on the Ethernet in our phones and just doesn't go anywhere. So we're going to dump it there. You're going to see all of our greatest food content. I think you're going to get your hands wet with some of these interviews as well, Mike, to it.
Yeah.
You've got the interest to bring some journalism to this as well.
It gives us the opportunity to do some new and exciting things. And I think that's what we're going to do. And I'm really excited about it. You know, have I shared this on this podcast? I almost went to culinary school until I worked in a restaurant and changed my mind. So, you know, I love to cook. I know you're pretty handy in the kitchen as well. So this is going to be a really fun outlet for us to really talk about food, and we'll see how it goes. If it burns in fire, in failure, then, you know what? Forget all of yous who didn't listen, but I think it's going
to
be awesome.
It is. It's going to be once a month to start off. We're going to do the final Friday of each month to get you excited for the month ahead. We're going to feature a great guest each month. We've already got a couple of unbelievable guests lined up, mm-hmm. and more to come. We've got chef friends. We've got food friends that we've already featured on Course of Life, which you well know out there. So we'll be sure to bring them back on as well too. So again, it's Always End With Food. Next Friday, you can look for that launch coming your way. Always End With Food Pod on IG. More social outlets to come, but looking forward to it. And this is, I mean, as if we don't already get hungry enough finishing these recordings. Now we're actually going to have to talk food for a full episode. So we're going to have to be very selective as to when we record these podcasts, Mike. Could get dangerous. Yeah.
What it sounds like is that we need to wrap up because I'm hungry. So I got to go eat something. So.
Sign off for Michael. I'm Alex. Thank you everyone for tuning in this week to Course of Life, and we'll see you next week. We'll